Welcome, everyone, to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I hope you're all doing well today. I know some of you in the north are experiencing horrible snow, unexpected snow. I have to tell you that, well, you know, here in Southwest Florida, we're having a heat wave. The air conditioning is on. It's 85 degrees. It's just a good day to live in Florida. I want to tell you about some books that are releasing this week, and you may be interested in knowing about them. I have to scroll down my Facebook page to find all them, but they're here. The first one I want to tell you about is written by my guest, Kimmeri Martin. It's called Queen of Hearts. It's not releasing today. It already has released, but it's a spectacular book. You're going to love it. Also releasing today is William Myers Jr.'s A Killer's Alibi. It's part of his Philadelphia Legal series. It's brilliant. Please, please, please stop by and get that. Elle Rossi is releasing Marked Before Dawn. She does paranormal romance. Fabulous book. Also, Melissa McClone is releasing A Little Bit Engaged. I don't understand what that means, A Little Bit Engaged. You either are or you're not. But no matter, let me tell you about my guest today. Kimmeri Martin is an emergency room physician who is also a book reviewer. She's an author interviewer. She's a traveler and an obsessive reader. We decided we were bonded. We were probably sisters from another mista, because we both are obsessive readers. Her debut novel is called The Queen of Hearts, which was a huge hit with her friends, but it was picked up by Random Penguin, which is wonderful. She lives in North Carolina. She's locked her children and her dog out of her office so she can talk to us. I want to welcome Kimmeri Martin to the show. Hi, Kimmeri. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Hi, Pam. Thank you so much. I am really happy to be with you.
Thank you, and I'm thrilled that you're here. First of all, I adore this book just from the cover alone. Your publisher really did you, Roy Berkeley, did a great job on the cover, and I like it particularly because the Queen of Hearts is not drawn necessarily as a heart. The heart is not there, the typical heart, but rather more of a medical-looking heart, but covered in flowers. So I thought that was particularly interesting, one, because you're a doctor. I'm sure you deal with a lot of heart issues in the emergency room. But also, this is kind of the, you know, has to do with your characters in this book, Zadie and Emma, correct?
That's right. The protagonist is a cardiologist. And so my one request when they asked me what I would like on the cover was to have a vintage drawing of an anatomic heart. And the publisher thought that having a naked heart on the cover would gross people out, so they covered it in this absolutely gorgeous mixture of flowers, celebratory and funereal, to illustrate the circle of life in a medical practice. And they put some birds and bees in there and a whole bunch of symbolism. And it just turned out to be this spectacular work of art.
It is truly beautiful. It's important today in covers, because readers go through Amazon or someplace else wherever they're looking, and they're, you know, if you're attracted to a cover right away, that's 100% in the right direction. And this book just attracted me. As soon as I received it, I said, this is something I want to read, and I did, and it's glorious. What a fantastic, fantastic story. I want to just back up a little bit, because in part of your bio, you say you're a book reviewer. Do you review for any magazines or newspapers?
I do occasionally review for websites. I got my start doing it, actually, when a big parenting website in Charlotte, North Carolina, asked me to review books for them, because I was known locally as such a book nerd. And that was the first time I did it. And that was probably the first writing that I did. I loved it. I loved it. I loved writing these book reviews. I worked my way up to interviewing authors. And for somebody like me, it was just a kind of a extra gratification when it came to reading a novel, that I would get to give my thoughts on it and sometimes talk to the author.
Did you do written author interviews, or were you doing podcasts or radio shows or television? Because you're certainly attractive enough to be able to do that. You're just adorable. So I wanted you to know that.
Oh, well, thank you.
You look like you're a sassy woman. Pardon me?
Thank you. Well, I was going to say, talking on the radio and talking on TV did not come naturally to me. I was extremely nervous the first few times I did it. And in fact, I think I was in a I was on a morning show in Louisville, Kentucky, right after my book came out, talking to a man and a woman, and the cameraman made the rolling signal that the cameras were going. And I panicked, and I looked at the host, and I said, "Welcome," to them, and they laughed at me. But I'm getting better at it. It's getting better.
Very good. That's wonderful. It's a ton of fun talking to writers, as witnessed by the fact that I'm, you know, our chat in the green room before the show started. You've always been a book nerd, correct?
Oh, that's right. I'm one of those kids that started reading young, and I would go to the library with my mother as a little tiny tot, and we would take a red wagon and fill it up with books every week. And I eventually got to the point where I read every single book in the children's library in my town.
Wow. And you even, you like travelogues and everything. You do social commentary. So you're kind of, I mean, you really are a nerd, plus you're a brainiac too. So, and that's really cool. When did you decide to write a book, and why did you decide to write a book?
It was probably 5 years ago, and I do not have a background in writing. I had no formal degree in English or an MFA or any of those kinds of things. But much like you, Pam, authors are my rock stars, and I decided I wanted to try my hand at doing this thing that has given me so much joy throughout my life. So I told my husband I wanted to try to write a novel, and naturally he was somewhat skeptical. But I sat down, I started out of the blue, and within 2 weeks probably, I was completely hooked. I was dreaming about it. I was pulling over to the side of the road when I was driving to scribble stuff down. And I figured out, you know when you do something and it's so compelling to you that it's taking over your brain. I knew I wanted to finish it. And so then I started educating myself on how to write a book and eventually got it in manageable shape.
So was that book that you started writing on the side of the road and every place else, did that eventually become The Queen of Hearts?
Yes, it did. I titled it Trauma Queen. The two protagonists are a cardiologist and a trauma surgeon. And that's the book that sold to Penguin Random House. And yes, it's the first thing that I had written, but I don't want to give the impression that that was easy. It took a massive amount of revision to get it in a readable form.
When your editor was saying to you, okay, we like the premise, but you got to rewrite pages and pages, were you stunned at that? Or did you think, I've got a really good story here and I don't want to revise anything?
Well, since you interview authors, I am certain you have heard the phrase "kill your darlings" before.
Mm-hmm.
You know how authors refer to the passages they just don't want to give up. I felt that,
right.
But at the same time, I was deeply grateful for the guidance. I have a wonderful editor at Berkeley. She had fabulous ideas. When my book got picked up by Penguin, someone at one of the acquisition meetings suggested rewriting the second half with a different plot line. So I actually did a big revision to include a plot line that the publisher wanted, and I was okay with that. I was a complete novice, so it was fine with me to try to restructure the book.
So this took you 5 years to write this. Is that correct?
Well, it took me probably a year to write and a year to revise, and then it took me probably 2 years to get picked up by an agent. That part was really hard for me. And then the agent sold it within a couple of weeks to Penguin. And then it was another year or two before they published it. So the process was long. And
it was long.
For somebody who's used to running around at work like she's on fire, you know, it was
right.
Hard for me. The publishing industry moves at glacial pace compared to what I'm
used
to.
Yes, it does. So that brings me to my next question is, you know, you don't exactly have a stress-free job. You're in a big city, and you know, you're an emergency room physician. So it's not like you've got hours, you know, or a very slow pace job, and you've got a family, and you have a dog, and you have a husband. How in the world did you manage to fit in writing? Did you say I'm going out for sugar? I'm going out for sugar. I'll be back in a minute and come back like an hour later.
Well, you know, I kind of joke about it, but the truth is I did everything really crappy for a while. I was forgetting to pay bills, and I would forget to pick up my children, and we were eating horrible food, and you know, it was a struggle in the beginning to find time to do it. And I eventually restructured my entire life to make it work. I gave up television completely. I stopped doing some of the volunteer work that I love. I hired help when I could with my kids. And it is not something that you can really do without being dedicated to it. If you're going to write novels,
right?
Those are big, long, complicated projects, and they require an immense amount of brain work. And then once you get to the publishing phase, that requires a huge time commitment as well. And so I changed my life. I made it work.
I think that's amazing, because one is such a solitary pursuit. Writing is so solitary until you turn in your manuscript. And then, of course, you've got your team. But like you said, it's a very slow process. And the other part of you is working, literally saving lives in the moment. You don't have time to plan anything out. You never know what your day is going to look like. So, you know, you've had to compartmentalize a lot of things, I would imagine. Where did this story come from, though? Where did the Queen of Hearts come from?
Well, you know that authors tend to divide themselves into two groups, right, when they talk
yes.
about how they plot a book. So they're plotters, and those people are the outliners, and then the seat of their pants people, the pantsers. So that was
right.
me. I did not have a plot in mind when I started. I had characters in mind.
Interesting.
For me and my life, medical school was this incredibly formative period. It was so intense, and we worked so hard, but we played so hard. And I wound up forging these incredible friendships that have lasted my lifetime. And I knew I wanted to write about a group of people in medical school. So I started with that, and then gradually I whittled it into two main characters, and their personalities declared themselves, and some of the plot became more clear to me as I went, but I did not have an idea of what it was going to be when I started. And I've found now that I have a contract for more books. I really cannot outline. I tried for my publisher and just could not do it. It's just the way my brain works, I suppose.
Well, you know, it either works or it doesn't. And you'll hear some come down on the side of just, you know, flying, riding by the seat of your pants, and some people outline to, you know, 100 pages, and some just do a brief sketch. So I don't understand outlining 100 pages, but because to me, that's a third of the book, but I'm not a writer, so I don't know, but I am a reader and I can appreciate good writing, and your book is good writing. Will you give us the story, please, about the Queen of Hearts?
Sure, and thank you. So the book is about two women. They've been lifelong friends. One is a cardiologist and the other is a trauma surgeon. And one of them is concealing this terrible secret from the other one. That comes out in a time of big professional crisis. And I guess there are a couple themes in the book. I mean, I definitely touched on the humor that's inherent in both parenting and in the practice of medicine, because there is a lot of funny things. There are a lot of
sure.
funny things in both of those. And it is a story also that provides you a kind of fly-on-the-wall look at the profession of medicine. What
yes.
training is like for physicians, and what we worry about, what scares us, you know, what we go through. And I enjoy that when I read a book. I really like getting an in-depth look at some industry or setting that I don't know very well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of enjoyable to apply that to my own novel and to show people a little bit about what practicing medicine is like. And then there is this element in the story of, I won't call it a romance. It's really kind of more of an anti-romance, you know, kind of a love gone wrong story. But the overall theme of the story is the complexities and the joys of friendship, and in particular, how far you would go to forgive someone you love who has betrayed you.
You know, I love stories about women friendships because I think they're unlike anything that can be written in male friendships. And I know that there are men who are really good friends who, you know, hang out and have a great time together. But I can't imagine a story that's any more satisfying to me than keeping secrets from your best friend. That it to me, the what ifs of it all just are too great to imagine. They're too great to imagine. So it's such a well-crafted story, Kimmery, I have to tell you. It is such a beautifully written story. And, you know, my heart ached at times. And it was fun at times. And I did laugh at times. So, you know, I think you've touched on a lot of things when you ping off all those emotions. That really makes for a great story. One of the things you mentioned was being a fly on the wall for a medical practice. Now, I think that's really interesting. I don't think a lot of people understand that you have to have humor amidst a lot of pain and suffering when you are a physician.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you really get the gamut of human emotion, especially in the ER, because we see everything.
Right, right.
So, you know, you see moments of great joy and moments of intense anguish. And yeah, sometimes it's funny as hell. Like, there are funny things that happen.
Right.
And if you can't have fun at your job and laugh and, you know, have camaraderie with the people you work with and all of that, then it's not a good job.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, I would not describe myself as a gifted writer, but I did want to try to encapsulate some of the some of the variety in the job.
So, you know, you talked about your fears as a physician when you were, you know, getting out of medical school or even while you were in medical school. Were there fears when this book was being published as a writer?
Oh, yeah, of course. and I'm sure you hear this from every single writer you talk to, but you know, it is strange having some, you know, facet of your imagination go out into the world to get judged by everyone. It's bizarre, you know, this thing that existed so long only for you is now really only exists in the eye of the beholder. And that's odd. That's an interesting thing about doing something creative is it belongs to the people that experience it from that point on. So
it really does.
I worry that everyone would hate it.
Well, it's interesting because you have a lot of reviews, and by and large, every single review is excellent. But you did get your one star cherry popped, and I have to say that's a good thing for a debut novelist. You know, you just get that one star out of the way, and you say, okay, on with it. You know, with somebody who didn't like my book, I can't take it personally. It's like saying you didn't like the fit of Levi's, and you want to get, you know, some other brand. So, writing?
I have a lot of one star reviews. Tons. And I think part of that is
really,
because I have
very good reviews, actually. Your reviews are excellent.
Well,
so.
Yeah, no, my professional reviews are. And now I try not to read every single review because it gets overwhelming. But So nobody's going to get you all of the time. And
That's right.
Sometimes people have really legitimate reasons for not liking what you wrote, and sometimes they're crazy, and it's kind of like being in the ER. You know, we get rated
right
there too. We get these
exactly
evaluations where people give you stars, and so it wasn't something I was completely unfamiliar with. But
are you writing your next book, by the way?
Yes, I am. I'm working on that now.
Now, will this be another standalone, or will this be a continuation, or maybe pulling others from this story into a new story?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a spinoff. It's about one of the minor characters from The Queen of Hearts, who was a medical school friend of the main characters. Her name is Georgia. And I had this one line in the book that said that Georgia went on from medical school to become a urologist in Charleston, which leads me to my favorite joke about the book, because you mentioned the cover, which is
right.
gorgeous and has this anatomic heart on it. And you see where I'm going with this?
You,
like, we wanted to keep the same. Yeah. It was a very successful cover. And so we wanted to have the cover with, like, the specialty
it.
Of the protagonist. Yeah. So
that's so funny.
There's probably not enough flowers for the next cover.
Kimberly, would you tell everyone where they can find you on the webs and social media, please?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I love Instagram, hashtag Bookstagram. I really like that. I'm Kimberly Martin. Twitter, Kimberly M, and my website is KimberlyMartin.com, and I think that's also my Facebook name.
Very good. I'm so thrilled that you came back on. You came on the show. I hope you'll come back when your next book is out and talk to me some more, because I'd love to see where you are then compared to where you are now and see how much has changed with your writing life. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I've enjoyed talking to you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely.
And this is Kimberly Martin. It's K-I-M-M-E-R-Y Martin. The book is Queen of Hearts. It's available everywhere. You can get it in brick and mortar and online. Please go. Make sure you review. Be nice when you review. Don't be nasty. If you don't like the book, just say, hey, it's not my cup of tea, right? And thanks for being with
you
me,
can say
Kim
what you want.
There you go. Thanks for being with me, Kimberly Martin. And thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I'll see you later.